listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And during the break, I was reading through some of the literature, and there was a lot of it about this atrazine. And in all of the studies done on animals that have been exposed to it, they all say the same thing. It turns the testosterone into estrogen. It feminizes animals, or chemically castrates them. And this stuff has apparently been widely used pesticide for like 10 years now. And it sounds to me like, again, nobody wants to ask, what is this doing to humans? Because nobody wants the answer to that. But I just put up one of the many articles about it. Berkeley News had it. Pesticide, atrazine can turn male frogs into females. UC Berkeley, atrazine exposure disturbs frog sexual development. And hormone disrupting weed killer taints drinking water for millions. And apparently that one does show human health harm from atrazine in drinking water. That's nasty stuff. Nasty stuff. All right. Oh, we've got a caller on the line here. Peter in Texas. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I guess, you know, what Trump did about calling off the attack, that seems consistent with what I see him doing. I think before he goes into negotiations, he wants to convince his partners that he's willing to go to war. He did. I think he did it with North Vietnam. He starts off with, you know,
with North Vietnam.
North Korea. You know, he was playing the tough guy out, and I think he starts off okay. I'm ready to bomb you. I'm ready to go to war, and he's got to convince these people that he's ready to go to war. And once he thinks he's done that, then he'll sit down and negotiate from there. It seems like that's always the consistent pattern I see. So I think that's
It certainly did not work in North Korea, and it's certainly not working in Iran. And I think maybe that Trump needs to learn a little bit more about foreign diplomacy.
I thought we're doing okay in North Korea. I thought the guy was making more concessions and things were doing okay. Maybe I'm wrong. That's the last I heard.
Well, I mean, Kim Jong-un is talking about reviving their nuclear weapons program, and they're certainly not backing off the long-range missiles. What they're waiting for is for Trump to make concessions, because that's where it really falls down. Trump's attitude is, you give us everything we want first, then we'll do something nice for you. And it really doesn't work with a lot of world leaders. You know, Kim Jong-un, especially with the Asian mindset, Kim Jong-un's attitude is, we'll give a little, then you give a little, then we'll give a little more, then you give a little more, and slowly, bit by bit, we'll get down to where we want to be. But Trump didn't want to play that way.
Well, I listen to different news stations, and maybe it's just the propaganda I'm hearing. I'm hearing that he is making progress. Maybe that's not so. The other thing I want to point out is that, I think a lot of times you really need to give the police the benefit of the doubt. I've worked with in alternative schools, and these guys go out there, and they're just in the face every day by people who are stupid, mean, and ugly. I mean, these guys deal with trash all the time, and they deal with people you don't want to deal with, or you want to keep near. And so the advice, I would always give any kid or any adult or myself is, when the cops show up and they say, sit down, you sit down. They say, stand up, you stand up. And the next day you can go see the mayor, the chief of the police, or your lawyer. But when the cops show up, they don't need to debate whether or not they're in charge or not. They deal with really, really tough people.
I think you should, you know, point that out.
Peter, there is something wrong with your phone. You keep fading out every once in a while.
Well, I'm just saying, police have very, very tough jobs, and when the police show up, you should do what they say and take care. If they do something wrong, take care of it the next day with your lawyer or with the mayor or with the chief of police.
Well, in the case of the skating rink, the police were clearly in the wrong. And I'm sorry, I'm not one of those people who are going to go along, you know, with authority when the authority is clearly in the wrong. The skating rink was authorized to hold 440 people, of which they had about 250. And the police just overreacted. You know, the owner of the rink pointed out the sign and said, "We're within compliance here."
I think that's bad advice. When the police say, sit down with the civil, you know, deal with it the next day. You don't tell the police. You're just gonna get kids in trouble telling them you should stand up for your rights right then and there. You need to tell them.
Well, Peter, you know, I think the founding fathers would be very much ashamed of you, and thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Jim in New York. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Mike. You know, I saw on an article that Antifa was threatening or protesting Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yeah, they doxed him.
It's funny, and I've always had the suspicion Antifa are working for the deep state. Notice right after Tucker, you know, tells Trump to be cautious with Iran, then they go after Tucker. It's almost like they're mad that he didn't go to war with Iran. Antifa is kind of intimidating conservative people who are against war to be for war. It's kind of strange. Also, that woman came out of the woodwork accusing President Trump of rape right after he didn't bomb Iran. It's almost like there's a media pressure. The media, the so-called liberal media, is disappointed that Trump didn't attack Iran. Very strange. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, they've been raging at him all week long.
Yeah, it's very strange. It seems, looking at some of the media pundits, they seem like they wanted a war, and they're mad at Trump for not bombing Iran. And I find it very odd. It seems whenever he doesn't, he becomes dovish, if you will. The media picks up the anti-Trump rhetoric when he's not bombing or threatening to start a war. Very strange.
Well, it certainly was on full display starting over the weekend. And as we've had other callers call into the show and just saying, you're seeing people like Sean Hannity is out there and just saying, you know, we should have got ahead. They're accusing Trump of being a coward, of having his hand on the chicken switch. Again, now we're finding out that Trump may have been well aware that the drone was over Iranian airspace, and that's why he pulled back from the attack. And again, given that there was apparently a Navy plane shadowing the drone, it's smelling to me more and more like this was a setup, that they deliberately sent that drone into Iranian airspace to let Iran shoot it down to create this pretext for going on with an attack.
Yes, I think so. I think we're going to probe and do all these little games with Iran. It's almost like we're already in a slow motion war with Iran.
And we have been for a very, very long time.
I compare it to, you know, when we wanted to provoke Japan before World War II with the oil embargo.
Yes.
And there's a lot of similar parallels. It's with Japan. And, you know, they're going to keep pushing, and eventually someone will sink a ship, probably Israel, and blaming it on Iran. The only thing may be hauled
back. Well, Israel has experience doing that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The only thing that may give pause is, our only hope is, some generals in the Pentagon would warn that this would be a very costly war. I think we'll lose planes if we were to bomb Iran. I think
I would agree with that, but we're already getting word that officials within the Pentagon are saying we can't take this one on. You know, the U.S. military is just stretched all over the globe right now, and after 18 years of war, the machinery is worn out, the troops are worn out, they're demoralized, the stockpiles of munitions are drawn down, and there just isn't any more money with which to replace it all. Even with the new, even higher military budget this year, the military is spending it faster than the government can pour it in.
Yes. I don't understand. I think Russia and China, they're a little quiet on this whole thing. I wonder, you know, they should be at the UN doing...
Well, we don't know what's going on in the back channel discussions. We don't know what's going on inside the United Nations. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of discussions going on. And I'm sure that both Russia and China probably expressed their disapproval over this. But this whole thing with the drone and the retaliatory strike that almost happened, they were rushing it. They wanted to just get it pushed through before anybody could have a second thought and turn it back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, let's pray. I know you're an agnostic, but let's hope that there's no conflict with Iran. But as long as you have Bolton there and Pompeo, and I mean, Bolton heads the NSA. That's the perfect agency to do a false flag. Right.
Well, NSA is more signals intelligence. It would be either CIA or Mossad who would do the false flag.
Yeah. Well, it's very disturbing. But as long as Bolton's there, I'd be very worried. But
well, at this point, there will be another provocation. You know, they've been working for war with Iran for all of these years. They're not going to quit now just because they botched the last two false flags. There's going to be something big, like an outright ship sinking or an attack on a U.S. warship. Another story that was floating around a few days ago was that Israel was going to attack a refinery in Saudi Arabia and blame Iran for it. Something is going to happen. They will do something. They want that war. They want to do something that will force Trump to go along with the invasion of Iran so that he doesn't lose face.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking my call, Mike. Have a good show.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. And the phone lines are now open, 800-313-9443. And we're going to do a shout-out now to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Okay. This actually came out of the Daily Mail, which I think we can classify as corporate media, and they're actually starting to acknowledge problems with antidepressants. And they're talking about this study that found that taking antidepressants actually raises the risk of suicide. And they're saying there should be a warning, and here in the United States, there is. It's in really, really fine print on that package insert. But the research from the study found depressed people on the drugs were more than twice as likely to attempt suicide as similar patients who were not taking them. One of the problems that you have with antidepressants is it reduces your impulse control. And one of the stories I remember from SSRIstories.org was this kid who was put on these medications because of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And he attempted suicide. They got to him in time. And after it was all over, they said, "Why'd you do it?" And he said, "I don't know. It just popped into my head, and I couldn't help myself." These medications are insanely dangerous, and we need to remember that pretty much all, most if not all, of these mass shootings that the gun grabbers like to wave at us all the time involved people who are either on or withdrawing from antidepressants. And it's when you're withdrawing that you are most at risk of a severe mental episode. But nobody wants to talk about it because antidepressants make money and Big Pharma is making lots of money and they do lots of campaign donations. There was actually, believe it or not, a congressional hearing into this link between antidepressants and violent self-destructive behavior. But as is usually the case, when big money is involved, nothing was actually done. All right, we're going to grab a phone call now from Tim in Michigan. Aloha, Tim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I think it's kind of funny that you're talking about antidepressants. Because that police robot you were talking about earlier, was it on antidepressants before it committed suicide?
Well, I don't know. It occurred to me that it might be the case, but then I couldn't find a mouth on the robot where it could swallow a pill.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good show.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Okay, down in the Dominican Republic, they're having a real problem, obviously, where a whole bunch of tourists from the United States have died, and it's suspected that they were poisoned. The FBI is down there now. They're testing the bottles in the little mini bars in the hotel rooms to see if they can find what's going on here. Now, Dominican Republic officials are saying these deaths were all due to natural causes and that these reports of the mysterious deaths and numbers of death, it's just manufactured hysteria. And, of course, what they're trying to do is salvage what's left of their tourism industry, which, because of these deaths, has fallen off a cliff. And we're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on? Why are U.S. tourists being targeted? Is somebody trying to undermine the economy of the Dominican Republic, which relies heavily on tourism? Is there somebody running around the island who doesn't like Americans? Is it the Dominican Republic equivalent of a serial killer, or in this case, a whiskey killer? Again, a lot of people are concerned. I think it's up to 12 now that have died. And I noticed the other day Fox News was doing a big story about it. But apparently the Dominican Republic officials have conducted their own autopsies. And in one case, and I think this is kind of a dead giveaway, they urged the family to allow the body to be cremated before it was sent back home. And that right there tells me that the Dominican Republic officials have an idea what's going on, and they don't want it to get out. So, again, we're seeing this string of murders. And again, what is the motive? Is it just somebody who gets their jollies killing people? Or is it somebody out to undermine the economy of the Dominican Republic? Because if you think about it, if the economy in the Dominican Republic crashes, somebody who's really rich could go down there and start buying up all the hotels and resorts for pennies on the dollar. And these kind of things do get done. In the aftermath of the earthquake in Haiti, all that humanitarian aid money that was being sent down there was actually being used to buy up all the resorts, whose value had basically plunged through to the basement. It's called disaster capitalism. You know, going on in like a vulture and taking advantage of other people's tragedy. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials here. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And I'm watching the Fox News feed here. And finally, Congress is doing something really useful. Apparently, responding to a report from the Inspector General, they're now taking a look at military pricing. And apparently, the IG examined 47 different military contracts and found excessive charges on 46 of them. So now Congress is looking at this idea of military markups, and we've all heard the stories about, you know, the $50 hammer and the $700 toilet seat, and it really does exist that way, and I got to see it at a couple points during my life. First of all, with NASA, and then later on when I briefly went back into aerospace work, and it is. It's a racket. Just like Smedley Butler said, war is a racket, and it would be nice if Congress would have the spine to do something about it, because you heard Trump when he was talking about Iraq. You know, we put in $1.5 trillion into our military, and that makes us strong. Not really. Not if the money's being wasted. Not if it's buying junk like the F-35. And when you look at other countries' military procurement programs like Russia and China, they're focused on getting good weapons, as opposed to here in the United States, where it's really all about the money. And again, somebody called on in, I think they said Pentagon Wars is on Hulu now. Amazon Prime. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to look at it. It's a funny movie. They're treating it very lightly, but it is a serious problem. And this is based on the true story of the development of the Bradley Infantry Fighting Vehicle. And at the very beginning of the movie, where they're showing the start of the congressional hearings, Kelsey Grammer is out there saying, "We're strong. You know, we beat the Soviet Union because we could shovel the money into the fire faster than they could," which you laugh at it, but that's kind of the attitude that you're going to get. And so, yeah, military spending is completely out of control. And we don't need to have these very expensive systems that don't work. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Al in West Virginia, aloha. Welcome to the show. I'm probably going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, you mentioned that price gouging. I just wanted to say in the auto industry, it's the same way. If you go into the parts store to buy a starter for a Cadillac, and it'll take the same exact starter as a Chevrolet motor, but because it says Cadillac, you'll pay 1.5 times as much or 2 times as much. And the same thing yes. also with RV. Anything that says recreational vehicle, RVs, it's the same parts, but if it says RV on it and you tell them it's for an RV, it's 2 or 3 times higher.
Well, that's the prestige value there. I would imagine, though, that a starter for like a recreational vehicle would have to be a little bit more heavy duty than one for a Ford. And so I don't know.
On the starter part, I was comparing a Cadillac. I've been doing mechanic work. I've had shops for 40 years. And
okay.
If you go in there to buy a starter, and it takes the same starter as a Chevy starter. There's no difference in it. Same winding, same everything, same bolt pattern, same everything. I would tell them, I'd say, look up one for a Cadillac with the same engine. And they'll pull it out. We talk about it at the parts store all the time, you know. They'll put a different number on the box because it's Cadillac, but then they charge 1.5 times as much, up to 2 times as much sometimes.
God, everything is a racket in this country. It really is. But in the case of, you know, the car, you chose to have the Ford or the Cadillac or the recreational vehicle. In the case of military spending, the American taxpayer doesn't get a choice. They're being told they have to buy the $50 hammer or the $700 toilet seat. And as I said, I got to see
some... I remember when that happened. Yeah, I remember that. That's just outrageous. That should have been put... There should have been a stop to put to that real quick, Nuri. I used to buy a lot of medical equipment from the VA hospital when they'd buy new equipment. I'd go in and bid on it, and I would buy stuff for 15, 20, 25 cents up to $5 and come out with x-ray machines and just truckloads of gurneys and things you wouldn't believe. Well, everything that they use in the hospital, including the groundskeeper tools, and, you know, because they had to get rid of that so they could make room for the new stuff. So great stuff that they could have sold, actually, you know, like I'd send x-ray machines, like say a dental x-ray machine or a portable x-ray machine. I would send stuff like that down to Mexico and, you know, only get $300 or $500, but I'd send 6 or 7 at a time. And I only had $15, $20 in them or $10 in them, you know.
Well, that's quite an interesting little story. And, again, I remember military surplus was a real deal. Anyway, stay on the line, Al. I'm going to come right back to you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we're talking with Al in West Virginia, and we're talking about surplus. And when I still lived in Southern California, there was this store in Pasadena right on Colorado Boulevard, and it was called C&H Surplus. And all the local high-tech military companies would dump their surplus there. And you could just find these amazing bargains, stuff that was still in the box, brand new from the manufacturer. And I used to go down there all the time for parts for my telescope, and a lot of the engineers from JPL went down there to find bits and pieces to work on prototypes for whatever it is they were working on. And it was just, it was sort of Disneyland for us techno nerds.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to a lot of them either, because, excuse me, I noticed that I've been in a few of them since then, of them type. This is a little different what I was talking about, the VA hospitals, but the surplus stores, I used to go to a lot of them too. And I notice nowadays that a lot of that stuff isn't even true military. It's a lot of cheap stuff that they're putting
in
there.
Yeah, it's clothing. They're clothing stores. We have a couple of them here on Oahu, and there's nothing really decent there.
And then they also, I don't know if they put a stop to them being able to get a hold of actual military stuff, because most of the stuff that I've seen in there wasn't And they were, their prices was just, they went so high. You know, it used to be you could get such good deals in there, but now I noticed that there was kind of, he wasn't going to get too much of a deal in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember one time I got an old tank periscope that had a six-power monoscope built into it. And I took that apart and I turned it into a finder scope for my telescope. And it was the best finder scope I ever had. It was this amazing Erfel eyepiece. It was just clear as a bell.
Yeah. That's all I had, Michael. I just thought I'd throw that out there, that it's everywhere in this, in retail and wholesale, and it's just out of hand. Everything's out of hand.
I would agree with you on that last one, but again, I've been exposed to the waste in military spending on a couple of occasions, and I found it absolutely shocking. Every year, you see the Pentagon comes back and says, we need more money. And they're just wasting so much of it. And do you remember back on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld got up there at the Pentagon and admitted they had managed to mislay about $3 trillion with AT. And it should have been the scandal of the year, financially and militarily. But, of course, the next day, 9/11 happened. And got lucky Don Rumsfeld, he was out of the hot seat.
Right. And I asked him at these hospitals, I said, why are they, you know, the people that I dealt with, you know, that was in charge of, that I had to deal with to pay them and go receive the everything that I'd won. And they just flat told you, said, well, if we don't spend our allowance, if we don't spend our money, then they'll cut our allowance. So we have to spend it. So, you know, whether it's good or not, we're going to get rid of it and keep buying more.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Again, back at JPL in the days when computer time was actually monitored and it came out of your budget, so many cents per CPU cycle. And toward the end of the fiscal year, we were told, write some software, doesn't matter what it does, use up the computer time or they'll cut our allotment for next year. And
right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All
right. Well, I'll let you go. Right, thanks, Scott.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. But again, getting on back to the military, it's a racket, as Smedley Butler said. And the military are buying things that you could get in an ordinary hardware store for just a few bucks. And by the time it goes through the whole military procurement machinery, it's hideously expensive. And everybody's making money all the way along. And maybe Congress is looking at this issue right now because the word is coming on down, we can't afford another war. And so Congress is going to say, well, we're going to start cutting the budgets and the waste out of the military procurement so that we can afford a new war. And I'd like to see them do it, but it's an ongoing problem. I mean, Harry Truman, before he became president, when he was just a senator, he was dealing with this. And it was one of the things that made him very popular with the American people, was getting those government contractors to toe the line in terms of, look, we gave you this much money to produce XYZ, where's XYZ? So Truman had to deal with it. And it is insane. And even worse, of course, today, what is coming out of the military-industrial complex, by and large, seems to be junk. We're not really ready to go up against Russia and China in a war, unless we're just going to go nuclear right from the start. Okay. Down in New Zealand, as you know, they're starting to ban guns, and guns that were once legal to own are now declared illegal, and the owners are being ordered to hand them in, for which they will receive financial compensation. Well, it turns out that the Council of Licensed Firearms Owners is taking legal action because the gun buyback scheme by the government is literally pennies on the dollar. And the gun owners are saying, we're talking about some very expensive weapons here, and they just want to give us a few bucks. So there may be a court action over that. Okay. Out in California, a federal judge has sided with the First Amendment in a lawsuit against the California Fair Board that banned gun show and other event organizers from its facilities, which are otherwise available to the general public. So U.S. District Judge Kathy Bensivengo issued a temporary order to stop the Del Mar Fair Board from enforcing a recently enacted moratorium on gun shows at the fairgrounds. Now, disputes over gun rights typically center on the Second Amendment, which grants Americans the right to keep and bear arms. This case, however, focused on the First Amendment. And Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, that filed the lawsuit said, you know, he's happy. And he said, at a time and in a state where law-abiding gun owners seem under constant attack, having a federal judge side with our complaint validates our efforts to protect constitutional and civil rights. And as I mentioned the other day, one of the things I'm looking forward to after we get to Indiana is their gun laws are nowhere near as strict as they are here in Hawaii. All right, we're going to take another phone call, this one from Art off the grid. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, you know, all this talk about war, and, you know, I've heard drone about, you know, talk about warring with China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, the same that we talk about here on RBN. But what a lot of people don't seem to understand, and I keep trying to get people around town to understand, if we got into a war just with China alone, we would have our asses handed to us on a silver platter. China would stomp us up one side and down the other, and there wouldn't be jack squat that any of us could do about it. And anybody who knows anything and can look at things realistically can see this as an absolute fact that can't be denied. Now, if they want to pick a fight with Iran, I was in town the other day, and I heard people talking about, we ought to go over there and just turn that into a big old glass parking lot. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, and do you know what would happen? We would have to deal with Russia, China, and Korea. Now, is that a fight you want to pick? And they just kind of stood there and looked at me like I was an idiot.
You know, I think too many people in this country are in love with war because they've never had to deal with it. Or if they've never had a family member that had to deal with it. And they think war is what they see in TV shows and movies, you know, where it's glory and, you know, we're on to victory. And it isn't really like that, not at all. The other day, in fact, Platoon was on TV, which was Oliver Stone's first film. And it was based on his experience in Vietnam. And that is a very realistic telling about, you know, what it's like over there. But it's very easy for people to sit there and say, yeah, we've got to go to war over here. And my usual response to that is, well, why don't you enlist? If you think we really need to go to war against Iran, here's your rifle, here's your parachute, here's your Day-Glow orange jumpsuit left over from the CIA torture centers. Watch your head climbing into that transport plane, and we'll call Khamenei and tell him you are on your way to kick his butt. And the rest of us, though, we're going to sit out.
Yep, exactly. And I think a lot of this, too, because I'm talking to, you know, this is coming from younger people. This is coming from people that are, like, in their 20s and 30s and all this. And, you know, I'm asking them, I'm like, because they talk about, you know, we went over here and did this, and we went over here and did that, and we went over here and did the other thing. And I'm like, okay, Noriega, Panama, seriously? We could have done that with our eyes closed. That was nothing. What we did, what happened in Afghanistan and Iraq, seriously, we could have done that with our eyes closed. All of these wars that you're talking about, which really weren't actually wars, were conflicts that were instigated against the people that were terribly ill-equipped to take on someone like the United States. And as far as Vietnam goes, folks, we never won that one. The only reason why we walked away saving any face was because those in charge
felt it was a better decision to call a tie, call a truce, call a ceasefire, instead of staying engaged in Vietnam after, what, 10 years? And not getting anywhere. It was better to just save face and call it a draw and walk away, and that way you can say you didn't lose. Because I guarantee you, if we'd have stayed in Vietnam, we would have lost that, and the death toll would have been probably two or three times what it was. People just do not understand. They think about, you know, what the United States has done in all these other little piss-ant countries with no real military to speak of, and all of a sudden they got this crazy concept that we can take on anybody, and they don't realize with China, you know, we're pretty much matched as far as firepower, but manpower, we are terribly outnumbered with China. And with Russia, I think we're pretty much outmanned with Russia, you know, with Russia as well. There's no way we could win this. This crazy belief that we can take on anyone and win? Who the hell do these people think we are? Anyway, thanks, Mike. Have a great one.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. And again, people, young people, they see movies, TV shows about how great war is, and they think that's what it's really all about. And they don't really think about it because they haven't been in a war. They haven't even been through basic training. And they don't know what it's like to kill a fellow human being until they actually pull that trigger. And that's generally when people start to change their attitude about war. And I guess for certain individuals, that's perfectly okay. The other thing you need to keep in mind, though, is the awareness that there is still, in this country, a massive network of undercover FBI informants who are probably all being told that they should talk up the war at every opportunity. So that's something else that you need to talk about. Okay, let's take a phone call from Steve in Mexico. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, Mike. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the food shortages that we're going to end up, you know, coming into this coming, I guess, winter. And I've listened to Vince Vannelli and how much problems there are with farmers and stuff like that, and how much or how many of them are, you know, been put out, you know, business basically.
Yes.
And I think with that extra cost, because I just went to the grocery store today and I just wanted to get a smaller package of, stew meat. And
yes.
I seen last month it was $5, now it's $8.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing at our local market. The prices are just going right through the roof.
So I think here later on, you know, they're talking about buying cars, homes, and all that. Well, I think the people are going to end up spending kind of like more on food, and it's going to cut into the other areas because, you know, you're going to need to feed your family and everything. So I don't think we're going to see too many automobiles being sold, homes and stuff like that. So,
well, here's the real problem, though. Okay, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter how much money you have if the shelves
right.
at the supermarket are empty. And that is a very
right.
real possibility. I'm getting all these reports from all across the Midwest about flooded
mm-hmm.
fields and crops aren't growing
right.
Anywhere near the way that they should. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, we could literally, this country could run out of food, which is another reason why we shouldn't be letting the illegals in here.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, these illegals, it's going to put that much more pressure, you know, on the food supply.
Maybe
and
we could eat the illegals.
Yeah, really. Barbecue them.
Yep.
But, and then how they make, you know, take the corn and make it into, what is it, ethanol?
Ethanol.
Well, I think they're going to have to skip doing that this year. So I seen a picture where this time of the year, the corn last year at this time was like 3.5 foot high to 4. Now it's only about maybe 8 inches of what they can plant. So you can tell where things are going.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have that, Grand minimal, the sun and everything. That's going to have a lot.
The grand solar minimum, yes.
Yeah, because I forgot who the scientist was, but he said we could also expect the sun to throw off a solar flare, because I know in, what was it, December of 2012, we were just barely missed by one. So, yeah, it's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, and I know Mother Nature has not been kind to the United States this year, or the entire world, actually. Okay, well, listen, Steve, I got to let you go.
Anyway.
We're going to take our final commercial break. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today. We're going to take one more phone call from Joseph in Hawaii. Aloha, Joseph. What's on your mind?
Hey, aloha, Mike. I don't get the chance to listen as often as I'd like to your program. You may have already covered this, but I was just curious if you could maybe elaborate on your thoughts as to why or what was pushing you to move, you know, from Hawaii. Was it more of a push factor or a pull factor to Indiana? I my wife and I think about it a lot since we live here too, about maybe it's not quite, you know, like you live in Aloha, you know.
Well, it's, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Hawaii. Okay. And I'm going to miss this place. No question about it. In between getting ready to move, we're trying to make one more visit to certain places around here that we have fond memories of. It's kind of a little bit of both. The push side is economic. We just can't afford to live here anymore. And we're looking at the rents in Indiana. And we need to get from a two-story to a one-story because of Claire's issues with stairs. And so that's the push factor. The pull factor is Claire has family there in Indiana. And they're being very generous with their help to get us pulled over to the mainland. And so that's definitely the pull. But, you know, it's very difficult. You know, we've spent a long time building up a home here, building up the studio. And it kind of bothers me. I'm having to just tear it all apart, throw it in a container. And, you know, have to start all over at the other end because, again, because of the shortness of money, we're having to leave pretty much everything behind except the computers, the music equipment, and some of the memorabilia which could not be replaced. And everything else we're trying to sell off or give away.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not the only one. As you know, there's Honolulu's been losing population as of late, I guess, in recent years, and the economic factors do make it so oppressive here. It's hard because you learn to live a different lifestyle when you live out here versus the mainland to adjust to that. And, you know, which works well, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, like you said, it's the economic aspects. They say, as you probably know, you have to have an income of, what, 60 or 70,000 a year, just the borderline poverty out here or something to that effect. It was in the news.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the number is. I know that we're certainly not making that. But, you know, we just, you know, like I said earlier in the show, our local supermarket, the prices are going up. We just got a major increase in our rent a few months ago, and that was kind of the breaking point. And, of course, Claire does want to be close to her family, and there are two medical professionals in that group of family, and that's very kind of comforting for me because when Claire broke her back last year, it was 3 months before we could get her into a doctor to find out what had gone wrong. And that's just unacceptable.
Sure. Hey, before you go, I know you're closing up here soon, but maybe you've mentioned this. Are you going to be continuing the show there in Indiana? Will there be a break period? Okay, so
I'm probably going to be off the air for a few days, but no, the show will continue after we're settled in. Anyway, Joseph, I got to let you go. Aloha. And we're at the end of our show. John is having Harley Schlanger and NSA whistleblower Bill Benny on the air. So you want to stay tuned for that. And again, take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting. Please donate to whatreallyhappened.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.